Hey, happy Sunday, everybody.
Yep.
Look, we put the party lights on back there. We're playing with danger.
Yeah, I'm going real slow. I put them on the slowest possible setting. Maybe that might be easier for the CPU to process. I don't
As
know.
long as we stay really, really still, we'll just stay really
Yeah.
still so there's not much
There's
movement.
a whole bunch of movement. I think it just sucks up a bunch of data.
I know. Now I'm like really nervous about moving it or anything like that, like waving my arms
I don't know. We're gonna find out. We're gonna find out
around.
if that's what it was.
Yeah.
It may have been what it was.
That would solve a lot of problems, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it would kind of suck like not having it on during the party streams and stuff just 'cause it's but you know, maybe if it's slow. I don't
Yeah.
know.
Say
But
we're playing with fire.
yeah, I know. We're living on
Yeah.
the edge.
T says if you fucking look at those lights too long, you're gonna get sleepy.
I probably will. It's like, yeah, I'm looking at them on my little monitor and I'm just sitting there going,
Yeah.
oh, I'm getting like all
Just
hypnotized
to
and stuff.
hypnotize your ass, just make us look more pretty. Goddamn, those people fucking
We are
look
the
good.
most
Yeah,
beautiful
people look
people in the
good. I can't
whole
understand.
world.
Yeah, see,
Thank
T says she's gonna watch Justice League and Red Sun.
Holy crap.
Yeah, after she gets off of this.
That's
That's
gonna
good.
be a
Yeah.
quite a
Red
thing.
Sun's not long, though.
Yeah, it's not. I think it's only what 80 something minutes or
Yeah.
something. But yeah,
Yeah.
I really liked it.
It's got a good fast pace. I like the animated stuff. I think a lot of superhero stuff translates better to animation because
Yeah.
it's not real, you know.
I only want people to make movies about real things.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying
I know, I'm just teasing
try to pass it off as reality. It's just
you.
kind of my favorite superhero movie that's live action in recent years is actually Shazam.
Yeah.
Because Shazam was fucking goofy. It was fun though. It's
It
fun. I want a
was, yeah.
sequel. Yeah, I want a sequel to
Well, it
Shazam.
seemed like it was pretty successful, so I'm sure they'll get
Yeah.
around to doing a sequel one of these
For
days.
me, that's a superhero movie.
Well, yeah, like I said, it was
Yeah.
good. It was just fun. It was, and then,
Yeah.
like I said, that guy that was in it, you know, being like a little kid in a
Yeah.
adult superhero's body, that's pretty much exactly how that shit would
Yeah.
go. So I have a very special shout out I want to do today. I feel really bad because she messaged me on Patreon, and she wanted a shout out for the Friday night show, but I didn't see it in time, and we didn't do it yesterday. You know, we didn't do a stream yesterday. So happy belated birthday. It was their birthday yesterday to Shay Nicole and her twin sister Stacy.
Okay.
It's like they'd be very excited. I don't know if they're here or not, but I told her that I would like shout them out on Sunday because I felt really bad because I didn't see her message until after we'd already streamed on Friday. So I was like, so now we're shouting it out. So happy belated birthday, you guys. It was their birthday yesterday. So you know, now I don't feel so bad. So we're gonna be talking about this new Netflix documentary that they put up. I guess they just put it up yesterday because I only just saw it come up. And it's called The Last Blockbuster. What are
Well,
you doing?
something's not right with our lighting. There you go. There you go.
Oh, Pookie was over here fucking
Yeah,
with it.
you're right.
She's just over here just knocking shit off all the time. But yeah, so we saw this had come up last night and I was like, oh, that sounds fun. So we'll watch that. So we watched it last night. Before that, I was actually gonna do they had added this new movie on Shudder. Remember that Swedish movie that we watched? And I was like, oh, well,
Oh,
it,
that one?
yeah,
Yeah.
and I was just kind of like, well, we can talk about that one. But then I was just kind of, I didn't hate it, but
That movie had serious problems.
it was pretty slow. And I don't usually mind that. It's like
Nah.
the movie, it's called Coco di Coco da. And
Yeah, don't bother with that shit.
it was only like 85 minutes long, but it felt like it went
Felt
on
like
for
three
like a
times that.
year.
It was a movie written around totally unlikable characters. There's not a single character in there that was worth the shit, if you ask me, except the one of the monsters was a girl. She had cool hair. I like
Yeah,
that
I totally
part.
was
That
like,
was
oh, I
it.
want to do that for a
Yeah,
Halloween costume
she looked
now.
some out of the band Rasputini
Rasputina,
or
yeah,
something.
we thought she
Her
looked like a
hair was coming
Rasputina
out.
chick.
That was really the only good part of the movie. The rest of it, man, I was like, why'd they make this? The hero of the movie was the biggest coward in the fucking world. Wouldn't go out and save his girlfriend. He tried, but man, it was like he was caught in like a time loop,
Yeah,
I
it was
guess,
like a
where
purgatory type situation.
he could try over and over again to save her, and not a single time did he try to a frontal assault and just go and attack him. He never tried that at
Well, in the
all.
first few times, he was just like, man, fuck her, I'm out of
Yeah,
here.
he just kept running. Yeah, it's just, and I was like,
I was like, that's nice.
And they did but, show, they did like make sure to show him without his shirt that he was a weakling. You know, he had a little, he was just, there's just nothing to him. He was maybe 130 pounds. But the thing is that you're in a situation like that, you want to root for the underdog. You want maybe the little guy to win. And who he was fighting, only one of them was big. I mean, it was stupid. I think there was some kind of a moral or some kind of a...
Yeah, there was. It was like a symbolic sort of story. Like I said, a purgatorial type situation. Yeah, and it was
some kind of moral.
And it had some kind of like folkloric thing to it. I like that. But it's like, it went on way too long. It was like real repetitive.
Whatever moral it was teaching, it was a bad one. It just was.
Well, I don't think, like I said, I think it more had to do with like the death of their daughter and them like reliving shit like over and over again, like because they couldn't get out of the grief or whatever.
Clear though.
Well, I mean, that's what I got out of it. Yeah. That's what it seemed like with all the animation.
When you're making a film and telling a story, you have to make certain things clear so at least you understand what it is you're being shown and what the meaning of the movie is and what you're supposed to take from it. It's part of storytelling. And this really, that
well, thank you for explaining that to me.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty obvious. It's a shame that I have to say that. But there's a lot of these movies today. Some of them come from big studios. They don't know how to tell any stories.
Well, like I said, that's why I didn't really want to do that movie today, even though we just ended up
talking about it anyway. It doesn't fucking
matter. But yeah, so we ended up watching this this new documentary that they put on Netflix last night called The Last Blockbuster. And this one's actually pretty charming. Yeah. It's not real like in-depth or anything, but if you liked Netflix's stuff like, you know, the toys that made us, the movies that made us, stuff like it's kind of in the same, along that same vein. So this is about, I don't know if you guys know, but there is actually one sad remaining Blockbuster video store in Bend, Oregon. And so this documentary is probably like half about that store, or maybe like three quarters about that store. And then the other part is kind of just about Blockbuster in general. Like they have a bunch of, you know, comedians and stuff like that, like talking about their memories of Blockbuster. Some of them used to work there and they kind of talked about that. And they kind of talked a little bit, they went a little bit into the history of like what ended up happening with Blockbuster, which, you know, I mean, the simple answer being, well, Netflix killed it, which in a way it did because shit was going towards streaming and they just weren't quick enough to jump on that bandwagon. But the thing is, they probably would have gone out of business anyway, because I think they got bought out by, I think it was Viacom. Yeah. Like the company that owned MTV and Paramount Pictures and all that kind of shit. And they actually, I can't remember exactly what happened, but they ended up buying Blockbuster and they took on, so Blockbuster ended up like taking on all of this debt. So even though they were still making money, like I think at their height, which was 2004, which is crazy because I thought it was longer ago than that. But, you know, they had like 9,000 stores and they were like doing really successfully. But because, you know, the corporate overlords had taken them on and taken on so much debt, even had they, you know, even had they got on the streaming bandwagon or the mail order bandwagon, as it was back then, they probably wouldn't have succeeded. And there was much made, too, of the fact that they were offered Netflix when Netflix was still pretty dinky. And they said no, because I mean, I'm old enough to remember, and you're old enough to remember, too, that
I can remember when dirt was invented.
Well, yeah. So I remember when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Yeah.
But so the thing about Netflix was when it first came out, it was a mail order service. Obviously, you got a movie in the mail and you watched it and you wouldn't get your next movie on your list. You made a list on their website and then they would send you the new movie when you sent back the old one. And you could, you know, if you paid more per month, you could have more.
I still got some of their movies.
Yeah, you probably do.
They never charged me anything for them.
Yeah. Well, they don't. Yeah,
they don't do that anymore.
I don't even know if they do. I think they discontinued that fairly recently.
Okay.
But unless, as somebody knows, that if they still send you DVDs,
I got Tomb Raider here. I got Tomb Raider here.
Yeah, that's right. You do, don't you?
Yeah, still got it.
But
I filled out a huge list, and every time I'd send one back, they'd send me one.
Well, yeah, that's how.
And I was like, oh shit, I don't want one. Stop sending them to me. But I lost the ability to any fuck them. Probably doesn't matter now.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because, like I said, I don't know if they still do that. If they do, it's a very, very tiny portion of their fucking, of their market share. But, so they were, like, pretty small. And then when they first came out with the whole mail order thing, I think Blockbuster and pretty much every other, like, movie studios and everything like that, man, that's not going to work. because people are just going to keep the movies and you're just going to lose your shirt. Well, you know, wrong. Here we are. Yeah, most people did send it back just fine. It worked out just fine.
Yep. And then, well, they were still thinking, they were still in the mindset. Okay, well, this is something that the documentary does cover. It goes way back to the early 80s when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
When they had us fooled into thinking that a VHS tape was worth $100.
And that went on even in the late 80s and early 90s, because I specifically remember when Rocky Horror Picture Show first came out on VHS, and I don't even remember when that was. Maybe it was 89, something like that, I want to say.
Yeah.
And I went to Media Play because I wanted to buy it, and it was $98.99. And I was like, fuck that.
Yeah, the people that owned studios that made these DVDs and VHS tapes, they thought in terms of theater seats and theater sales, because they wanted to think that way, because that's where all the profit was. They didn't really think about mass marketing or mass media. They're shysters, you know. Matter of fact, that one dude, he actually called it, that guy who did Toxic Avengers. He said,
Lloyd Kaufman, yeah.
Yeah, he said, if you work in the industry, you're scum of the earth. That's what he said. You're scum of the earth.
Right? He wasn't a big fan of Blockbuster either.
Yeah.
They had him on there for a few minutes and being cranky about it.
Yeah. If you work in Hollywood, you're fucking scum. Okay. And what they would do is they would say, well, wait a minute, hold on. If you rent this, if I sell you this VHS tape, how many of your family members are going to watch it? Because that's like 8-9 people. So you owe us $100.
Yeah, that was kind of what they're thinking.
That was their thinking.
And they went into that in this documentary, too. But
they were too narrow-minded to realize that, no, if you sell the shit for fucking $4.99, $5.99, or $10, everybody will buy one. Everybody will buy one of those VHS tapes.
Yeah.
More people will buy it than rent it, and more people will buy those VHS tapes than go to your fucking movies in the damn theaters. They didn't think that way, though. Why? Because their cousin also owned the theater chains. So they were trying to make like a monopoly between people that were, you know, loosely affiliated or sometimes actually related. They were trying to make a monopoly without making it look like a monopoly. But they couldn't hold it together.
The interesting thing, too. Oh, my goodness, Cookie. What are you doing back there? she's like, pay attention to me.
Leave Spock alone.
She's fucking with Spock.
Yeah.
But one thing that they got, that they went into a little bit in the documentary, and actually I did not know this, but when, you know, when it started becoming a thing, like VHS rental, and remember you used to have to rent VCRs too, because they were real expensive.
Yeah, real expensive.
Like to watch the movies.
You had needed a credit card to do it.
Yeah.
And only rich people had credit cards. That was my thinking at the time.
Well, yeah.
Not everybody had credit cards.
Yeah. Well,
I remember when credit cards were new.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah. I remember.
I mean, they've had them like going back to before we were born, but a lot of they weren't like real widespread until
the first real widespread credit card I remember was something called Diners Club.
Yeah.
And I think it was only in certain restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? You had American Express, but you had to pay all that shit at the end of the month.
Yeah.
That was another time.
Yeah.
Weird.
So, but something I didn't know was that when VHS first started to be a thing, the movie studios tried to, because, so what would happen, like, the movie studios were like, okay, we'll put our movies out on VHS, but they'll be like $100 each. At which point, some kind of enterprising people who opened up some of the first video stores were like, hey, if we buy a copy and we rent this out to people for $2-3, then we'll make our money back, like, really, really quickly. So a few businesses started doing that, like, back in the early 80s. And the movie studios that owned the rights to the movies tried to sue them because they're like, hey, you can't do that. Like, even though legally you bought a copy and now you're renting it out to other people for money, that's not cool. And I think it went all the way to the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court said, nah, bro, it's like, if that was the case, then libraries couldn't buy books and, you know, loan them out to people for free. It's like, it's the same kind of thing. They bought the movie. They can do whatever the fuck they want with it. It's their property now. So, you know, you have the right to, like, rent it out. So after that Supreme Court decision, I guess that's kind of when the whole video store thing exploded. But yeah, so the interesting thing is that when this documentary, I guess they first started working on it in 2017. And at that point, I think there were still four Blockbusters left. There was the one in Bend, Oregon, which as far as I know is still there. And then there were three of them in Alaska, of all places. Like, the other three were in Alaska. There was one in Anchorage, which was still doing okay. But while they were working on the documentary, the three in Alaska, like, ended up closing. Now, the one in Bend, Oregon, it's really interesting because they, you know, there's really not any corporate support anymore. So, like, what the lady that manages it, that they, you know, she's kind of like a main character in the documentary. And she's like, well, sometimes we'll get a shipment from the studio of X amount of new movies or whatever and put those. She's like, but in a lot of cases, like lesser known stuff and indie stuff or, you know, stuff people ask for that we don't have, she has to go to fucking Target or Walmart and buy the shit herself for the store and then rent it out, which is, so they showed her like being in Target and like looking at all the movies and like trying to find them fucking cheap and stuff. But a lot of people that live in Bend, Oregon are kind of like, well, you know, even though it's still like a corporate chain, not really anymore because there's just one of them. You know, this woman and her whole entire family like have worked there for, she's worked there for like 14 years. All her kids worked there. Like a bunch of her family members worked there. A bunch of other teenagers in the town worked there when they were growing up. So it's like everybody knows her and everybody knows, you know, so when they have people come in and rent movies, she's like, all you have to do is ask for a movie that they don't have and she will go out and buy it and like let you rent it and shit like that. So it's like really cool. And also they have, I guess a few years ago when they became the last one standing, there was so much media attention about it that now people make like pilgrimages to it, like to take pictures. Cause I think even Dan Bell like drove up there, like he did a channel about, it's like
they want to smell it.
Yeah.
they say they have to smell it. That you could only get in a Blockbuster. That they had a certain smell when you walked in, and it was kind of like popcorn and plastic.
Yeah, they did in burnt plastic.
Popcorn plastic kind of smell too, which I can kind of remember how they smell.
Yeah, I remember that.
The movie, it's a good movie. It's on Netflix, and it's worth watching. It's kind of like watching one of Dan Bell's Dead Mall videos, which that was the right way that they edited it and everything. It's kind of like a walk down memory lane. They have a lot of interviews with people that grew up, they're old now, you know what I mean, but grew up in the 90s and in, you know, going to fucking Blockbuster. There were some other video rental chains that we used to go to, you know, like, shit, what was the black and red one, West Coast,
there was,
or something, Central West Coast
video. Well, there was one called Suncoast, but that wasn't a rental place. That was you bought stuff. It was movie memorabilia. That was like a mall store.
Blockbuster had like a mom-pa competitor that usually was in a strip mall. Usually next to liquor stores.
There were some, oh my God.
And they actually had X-rated shit in there.
Yeah, that was kind of the one thing about, well, Blockbuster.
Something Coast video or something. It was the same thing as Blockbuster. It's just that they weren't quite as big. They had porn. They had a lot more horror movies and stuff. Like, we were going to see some special shit. We were going to go to that one, but I forgot which one it was. And the motif was Red, White, and Black. You don't remember that one? That was in Detroit.
Well, maybe we didn't have it here.
It was in Michigan.
We had one, I think it was a chain. The one that we grew up going to before we even had, because I grew up in Daytona Beach, and we didn't have a Blockbuster until probably like the 90s, like mid-90s, I want to say. Like early mid-90s. We didn't have one until then. But prior to that, we had Movie Gallery.
If my boy was in there, he would remember. Because he grew up
Hollywood in videos.
Might have been.
Yeah. Like I said, Suncoast, but that was in the mall, and that wasn't a rental place. That was, you bought movies. And
might have been a Hollywood video.
What in the hell?
What the fuck? Look at her. Stop turning. Look at it. She's...
she moved like this whole entire monitor.
She pushed the monitor out of the way so she could get behind it. Now close her in there.
I'm going to close you in here, Pookie.
Yeah. Ooh. She does not like it when we're doing a stream.
Yeah, she's like, you guys are not paying attention to me.
These fucking humans are always talking to these lights.
Lights. They're not petting me. She's like tearing up my fucking... Oh, now she's like pulling my little towel like under there. I can see her little eyeballs like
peeking. Granthers? Granthers would remember what video it was.
But yeah, we had that because that was one of the things about Blockbuster was that, one, no porn. You know, which wasn't a deal breaker, obviously. But... they also didn't have anything real. I mean, that was the place you went if you wanted like a new release. But if you wanted, oh my God, but if you wanted like some obscure shit or some old shit, or you wanted something that was unrated, you know what I mean? Like a horror movie that was unrated, that was uncut, then you couldn't go there and get it because they, I don't even think they would carry stuff that was NC-17, or they would only carry like a censored version.
I looked at Hollywood Video. It wasn't Hollywood Video. That's, yeah. That's way too upscale. In the,
Wasn't there one called Showtime or Show something?
I remember was like,
I remember
red and black, and then it had the motif was like the side of a damn film can reel. You know, it's like a circle with a round thing with circles in it, like the side of a film can.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was, and it might have had kind of like in the advertisement a round globe with lines going through it, but it didn't really have a world. It just, you know what I mean? It had like a globe. It almost looked like a basketball, if you ask me. You know what I mean? That's what it kind of looked like. I think that was in there. That's what it was called.
I almost want to say Showtime or Showbiz or something like that. Although Showbiz, that's a pizza place, isn't it? Like the competitor.
Might have been Showtime. Let me look and see.
Even though Showtime, is a
that's a cable thing.
Cable channel, yeah. Wasn't which that? Is still around. But yeah, it's just, so this like one little Blockbuster, they have, it's so funny because I guess there was a whole thing, and I kind of remember when this happened, but when there was still four of them open, like on John Oliver's show, he was kind of, his show bought all of this Russell Crowe memorabilia, like including the jock strap that he wore in Gladiator or whatever the fuck movie it was. And he donated it to the Anchorage store. So then when the Anchorage store ended up closing, the only remaining Blockbuster in Bend, Oregon got all of the Russell Crowe memorabilia, except for the jockstrap. I don't know what happened to the jockstrap. They just left me hanging on that. I don't know why. They got his robe and everything from Cinderella Man and whatnot. But it's like, so they, so the show paid for them to have like the display cases and everything. And another thing they're doing too, like the manager, she's pretty smart because it's the last one and she did all these, this big like media blitz about it. And now you have people coming from like miles around to come to the last one. So she started selling, she makes little blue and yellow beanies like to sell in the store. They make t-shirts. So they have all this kind of stuff and they have all this memorabilia that people have donated, their old cards and stuff. So I don't know. It's like, at the end of the documentary, they were kind of like, well, every year they have to like renew their, their corporate, whatever you call it, the contract or whatever. And she's like, and we, you know, every year we're scared that they're going to say, okay, we're not going to renew it anymore because you're like the last one. But
it might have been movie time.
Movie time?
I think it might have been movie time.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we had one of those. I don't really remember. Yeah. Like I said, when I was younger, we started out going to Movie Gallery, which was kind of, kind of janky.
Yeah.
I think it's a chain, but
it might have been movie time.
But it was real kind of scuzzy.
Yeah, they were kind of scuzzy.
But they had a lot of horror movies, and they had some horror. They had some porn in the back.
Yeah, that's what we would go
with the saloon doors.
Yeah, we
would. Which I laughed because somebody on the documentary said something about the porn room with the saloon doors. I'm like, oh my God, that's what Movie Gallery.
The only picture I could find of Movie Time, it looked like they kind of updated the sign.
Yeah.
From the time that I'd last saw it, like maybe I saw the old motif. I think it might have been Movie Time. That sounds kind of familiar. But no, we went there for more hardcore horror flicks.
Yeah.
Because some shit they wouldn't have at Blockbuster. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I said, they were real focused on having 40 bajillion, and having 40 bajillion copies of new releases. Right. That was always their thing, so you could always get it.
Yeah, and we'd also creep down there fucking when your buddies weren't with you and you get the porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you talk about the porn afterwards like you didn't do it. It's fucking funny, man. Did you rent that one? No, it was something or other, you know, New Wave Hookers 17. Did you see that one? Oh, yeah, I saw that one. Yeah, that's fucking funny.
I mean, you gotta say, like, most of the porn from back then was just, it was terrible. It was just, like, so fucking
What's
cheap.
Funny is that it's like it was shot with, like, a handheld store-bought video camera recorder. Either that.
Yeah.
Or you could tell they had to set up a bunch of lights in somebody's bedroom or in a hotel room to fucking shoot the scene. And it's really only got, like, three or four angles to the whole fucking scene. And they and maybe it was 10 minutes worth of material that they edited together and padded it out to try to get 20 minutes.
Yeah.
This fucking shit was cheap. It was. But then, like, it kind of had, like, some of the beginnings of, like, homemade porn and shit coming, where, you know, people were able to afford their own cameras. I think it was, like, Shane's World and stuff. It was kind of like reality porn.
Yeah.
It got better when that happened.
Well, and the thing about it...
shystery.
Well, yeah. The thing about it now is that porn is really... There's not a stigma about it anymore, yeah. And the technology is so much cheaper.
Yeah, that anybody can do it.
Yeah. And it looks good. It's like, yeah. Back then, people were kind of... You know, you weren't really supposed to do it, so people were kind of like these shifty hotel rooms.
They make all kinds of amateur mistakes too, like to have the camera. You know what I mean? They're trying to shoot the scene, have the camera, and then they point it towards the window, and of course everything would black out.
Yeah,
you know, like pay attention to what you're doing, dude.
Back in our day, they couldn't even film porn properly.
Yeah, couldn't even film porn. It's fucking hilarious.
But yeah, so I. Yeah, I knew the story you were talking about. I knew it wasn't movie gallery because I'm pretty sure that the movie gallery logo was the letters were yellow, yeah. And then I think the background was like black and white. It was like a black and white like marquee, and then I think it said movie gallery in yellow letters, if I'm remembering correctly. But yeah, that was the one we started going to, and then Blockbuster came along in the I want to say it was the mid 90s because I think it opened up in a strip mall. That was right across the street from the apartment where I used to live, but I had moved from that apartment like 2 or 3 years prior. And I think I moved out of that apartment in 1991. So, because I remember I had to drive then to get to the Blockbuster.
Louis asked me if there was one called Movie Gallery.
Yeah, that's the one that I used to go to.
I think the one in Michigan was called Movie Time.
It's Movie Time.
I think it's called Movie Time. And like I said, it was always in a second or third rate strip mall.
Yeah.
Next to a liquor store.
Yeah, right. That's next usually, to a liquor store, right. Like one of those like really janky like
and a place
nail
selling
salons.
Mattresses.
And a place selling mattresses.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it with... Did we like watch something about that? Because I feel like there's a lot of places in strip malls that sell mattresses and you never see anybody in there. And I'm always just kind of like, how often do people buy mattresses? How does a city like sustain that many mattress places? I mean, the markup on the ship.
I saw somebody do an investigative fucking...
I thought we did because I'd always wondered about that too. I'm like, God damn, there's another mattress place. Nobody's ever in there.
And they're like, some people had all these theories that it was like a money laundering scheme.
See, that's what I always thought.
It's not what it is. What it is, they're like, they're direct sale companies, kind of like Kirby and Electrolux was for vacuum cleaners.
Okay.
All right. It doesn't cost much to make a mattress. The technology's out there to make it. They're a very high profit item and the direct salespeople are in there and usually like one or two work out of one as kind of like a salesman / branch manager. They make, you know, $150 to $200 per sale on a mattress. So the salesman. So if they sell one or two a week, they can keep their head above the water. If they sell three a week, they made good money. They made a good
I guess
fucking,
so.
So.
Because it just seems like we went to.
And a lot of it has to do is that they have a truck and they deliver it to your house.
Yeah.
Because you can't carry it with you. You know what I mean?
He's like, no, I'll just walk home.
Yeah. Most people can't carry it with them.
I'll just put it in a bag.
So they just have to go somewhere. You know what I mean? Because how much, you know, and they're trying to sell them these high-end mattresses. You know what I mean? Like they're trying to sell you a $1,500 mattress. That's what they're trying to do.
Which I think the last time we went to that mattress one place next to the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, it sucked, didn't it?
And there was like nobody in there. But it's like we bought one. When was
it? It was like a $300 one.
I think it was $300 or $400. It
fell apart within about 3 years.
We had it for 3 or 4 years and then we had to buy another one.
Yeah, I had to buy another
one. Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Yep.
but yeah, it's just like, I always just kind of wondered about that because there are so many of those fucking places and you never see anybody in there. All right, so... Yeah, so this documentary is on Netflix, and actually, like I said, it's not a huge deep dive or anything, but it's kind of like, if you liked The Toys That Made Us, that kind of thing, it's that kind of vibe to it. It's just kind of fun. Yeah. And
Louis saying there's one called West Coast Video. I think there was.
Familiar.
I thought that was the one that I was thinking of, but it doesn't make sense that that would be in Michigan, unless they were everywhere.
They're like, well, maybe it's on the west coast of the Great Lakes. Yeah. It's a coast, kind of.
Let me see what it looked like. Yeah, that may have been it. It's that red. See?
Oh, yeah. okay, so we didn't
maybe have, the old versions that might have been West Coast Video.
We didn't have that.
Might have been. I don't if it was in Michigan.
Well, I'm sure you could like Wikipedia yeah. that shit. You could like look because
it's red. It was either that or Movie Time. One of the two. Movie Time kind of looked like it also.
Yeah. It's just crazy to think that Blockbuster, you know, that was like the thing that you did, especially if you were like teenagers or college students or whatever. That was what you did Friday night, Saturday night. That was like your date night. Now it's like Netflix and chill, but it's like you go to Blockbuster, you'd fucking pick, yeah, you'd pick out a couple movies, you'd get some candy, you'd go next door to Pizza Hut and pick up a pizza or whatever.
It was a national chain, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
That may have been it.
I don't think we had any of those. I don't remember that sign. I just remember Movie Gallery, Blockbuster, and a couple of just like real generic mom and pop ones. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's pretty much all I remember. So yeah, Gomer Kyle. Gomer Kyle says we had a West Coast Video in Tennessee. So there you go. And Sheila Ann said they had one in Pennsylvania and in Tennessee. Okay, so
that there's a good chance that it might have been that. It was either that or Movie Time. Movie Time. We might have had three or four of them, so they all kind of sound familiar with me to me. You know,
yeah, they all kind of have names West like Coast Video, might have been movie the this, one. Movie that.
It had porn. It had better.
We have.
It porn. Had porn. It had better, much better horror movies than Blockbuster had.
Yeah, because it didn't have all the bullshit like cut versions.
The store itself was smaller. You know how Blockbuster would have like those bookshelf looking things. And they'd have the movie laid out so you could see all the covers.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. It was more like a library. They were filed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they could get more of them in a smaller area.
Yeah.
You know? And I think some of the shit... I think some of it wasn't in those cases. It's been a long time. I think some of it might have just been like a library. Where you had the number and you told them what number you wanted.
Yeah, you know, now that I'm thinking about it.
You could look at it, but then you'd
have to. At Movie Gallery, yeah, it's like what they would do is all the boxes on the shelf were empty. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
You brought the empty box up to the thing and then they would give you the movie.
That's right.
Because they only had like a couple copies of shit.
That's right.
That was why Blockbuster got so massive because they were just like, we have all the copies of fucking. You know, whatever movie was real, but like fucking Jurassic Park or whatever.
And then once you taking the damn porn up to the front fucking counter and shit, you had to put it in a bag or something.
I don't remember them doing that at Movie Gallery.
I remember, because there'd be little kids and shit up front.
I mean, not like I was renting porn in Movie Gallery, but I'm just saying that like of people that I knew that were renting porn, I think they just kind of carried the box up there. Maybe they just kind of put it under their arms. I didn't come out of there.
By the time the very late 80s, started rolling around, I was amazed that just like, and it seemed like it happened overnight, a VHS player went from being like $1,000
I remember when
to like $100 or $150, and it happened over fucking night.
Oh, it seemed like it, didn't it? I mean, I'm sure it took longer than that, but it didn't seem like it took
and then
that
like
long.
A couple months later, you'd have these Samsung televisions with a VHS player in
I had one.
And they were like $200. They were fucking everywhere.
It wasn't a big TV. It was like 13 inches or 15 inches or something.
Yeah,
like
those
that.
Things were fucking everywhere and they were good. They never did break. Yeah. I had one until it went obsolete.
Shit, man. I have
eventually you just left it behind.
Well, yeah, because it was just cheaper to buy another one.
Buy a new one. And
then after DVD players came out, it's DVD. Like you couldn't get rid of the shit.
Or you couldn't get
Nobody
rid of
wanted your VHS player anymore.
Yeah. It was a different time.
Yeah, crazy. Now everybody just like, now everything's just out in the cloud.
Yeah.
You can just watch
T
whatever.
T says, please hit the like button. Thanks, T. I'm going to hit the like button.
Do you always forget to do that? You should do that every
Sometimes
time.
I do.
You should do that every time. We need as many likes as we can get.
Yeah.
Love us, please. But yeah, this was a good documentary. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I knew a little bit, like I said, I knew a little bit about the last Blockbuster in Bend, Oregon, because Dan Bell did a show about it. And I guess a lot of other YouTubers have been up there. Kind of talking, especially ones that were like 90s kids. Because I feel like Blockbuster was kind of more of a 90s phenomenon, I guess, than an 80s phenomenon. I did go there when I was...
I went there in the 80s. Late 80s.
Well, like I said, I don't think we had one in Daytona until the 90s. So if we wanted to rent movies, we always went to Movie Gallery.
When I came back from Brazil and went to Trenton, Michigan, fucking Blockbuster was like the central fucking event. When I was still in high school. That was like the central event for the weekend.
Yeah,
that's we're all going to go. We went to the fucking arcade first and spent about $20 a piece in fucking quarters.
I remember
on
those
fucking
days.
Video games.
Yeah, you go to the arcade.
And then we'd go get a fucking movie. And then we'd watch movies all night.
Yeah, we go and we'd go and pick a whole. Everybody would pick one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You go and make so you'd have like a pile of them, and then like I said, then usually you'd like pick up a pizza or some shit, or you'd order a pizza when you got home.
But then like we all started dating, so that started to break down. We had to change the nights. We would like date on Friday, but then we would fucking do movies and shit on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we date on Saturday, though, too. But that was just... But watching movies, that was like a guy thing.
Really? I did that, too.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about you only date with other guys.
Oh, okay.
You didn't invite girls over. They didn't want to see movies with you.
They did. I don't want to watch movies with you.
Yeah, they don't want to... No, they don't want to watch movies. They either wanted to fucking go out on a date, and that entailed all kinds of shit. You spent a bunch of money fucking going to eat, and then, you know, fucking driving around, or you're going to the lace area.
The Lays area. Going to see the Pink Floyd show.
Had all kinds of fucking crazy shit, man. Getting high.
I used to go to some of those laser shows at the Planetarium. Those are fun. I saw the Pink Floyd one a bunch of times. I saw the Duran Duran one. Yeah. I saw the Beatles one.
Craziest shit ever.
Somehow I ended up at the Journey one, even though I really don't like Journey. I think it was just like I was with a bunch of people and we were like, we're fucking bored. What are we going
to
do?
Went to a Gary Newman one.
Oh, I see. I didn't see the Gary Newman one. That one,
big laser bow ties flying around. At least wear a bow tie.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of shit that's happening.
Oh my God.
Yeah. One of them was the entire album of The Wall. Not The Wall, it was A Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah. I saw that one a couple of times.
That was weird.
Yeah. All right, so you have anything else you'd like to add?
Nah, that's it.
Yeah, Tilo was saying, I used to hate to check out my movies and the person commenting on my selections, like, shut up. Did I ask you? Now, I do kind of like that some people... And they did kind of go into this on the documentary, too, where if they said, you know, you're a real good employee and you really build trust in your customers if they come up to rent something. And if the customer asks you, is this movie any good? And you're like, nah, man, that sucks. Don't waste your fucking money on it. Then they said the customers really like appreciated that.
Another thing I remember that they had at West Coast Video that they didn't have at Blockbuster was anime. We would go in there and get fucking anime.
Yeah.
Like Akira. That level.
Yeah, see, Blockbuster didn't have shit
like
that. You get
like Akira, and then there was another one. It was called Appleseed, and then the Appleseed was. I remember that one. There was a bunch of good. There was a weird one. It was kind of like a soap opera called Ranma ½. That was a weird one. There's Shampoo, weird shit. It's almost kind of like a. I didn't really get it at the time. I didn't really understand what it was. Looking back on it, it was kind of like a teen romance type shit. But I was like, what the hell is this? Why? Because I was used to anime being real kind of violent or kind of like hentai. It's kind of like sexual and shit.
But it's a massive.
But it's a massive genre.
It's not just one genre. It's all the genres, just anime.
Yeah. There was another one about fucking some devil. Demons, like sex demons, but it wasn't the one that we saw. It was another one that was like that.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Well, like I said, that was kind of the problem that I had with Blockbuster. If I wanted to see like a new release, that's where you would go.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to see something old or like kind of a cult thing or, you know, some extreme horror or something like that, then you didn't go there because they didn't have it. You had to go to like some mom and pop place to get that shit, you know. All right. So I guess that'll do it for today's matinee. We'll be back tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking about another movie. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I guess we'll find out. We'll be surprised, and you'll be surprised. All right, so thanks, everybody, for dropping by. Remember, hit the like button if you haven't done it already, and we will see you guys tomorrow. Bye.